Thankful to have each one of you here today. So, I've been reading and meditating some on the book of 3 John, one of the shortest books in the Bible. Another one, 2 John. And both of these books of the Bible have something that's pretty unique about them. 2 John is addressed to a woman, appears to be, I'm just going to say, middle to older age. And it's addressed to her and her children. And it's a very personal book. It says, my Bible says, the second epistle of John. So it's something that, it was a letter that was written. It was something written with a purpose. And 3 John says it's a third epistle of John. It's written with a purpose. It's written very to a very personal with a very personal tone to it. I'll put it that way. So I'd like for us to look at this. You know, all of us have got a letters in the mail. I know now if you have an email address, you're going to get a lot of propaganda that way. But over the years, we have all gotten mail in the mailbox from somebody that we didn't know. And it might start out by to the resident at this address. It might say, "Dear Mr. Customer." It might say something else. But it's obviously a pretty broad letter. It's not something, they don't know you, all right? They don't know who you are. They don't know what you're about. They don't know any of your makeup. It's just a generic form letter. And they may offer you a chance of one in the population of the United States to win something. And they may be offering something for sale. I don't know. All of these things. It doesn't really, you got to be desperate for something to read to be interested in reading it, if you know what I'm saying. But this is different than that. 3 John was written, it says, "The elder," first verse, "unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." So, number one, we know that he knew the name. He knew not only the name, but he says, "I love in the truth." So there's a personal relationship, and they have a common ground. The common ground is the truth. The common ground is the gospel message. But their relationship went beyond. You know, we can allow our relationships to just be built on, well, I know them from church. But I think that it's advisable for all of us to build deeper relationships than that. You know, it's one thing to know somebody because you've seen them in the grocery store, or you've seen them when you went to the department store, or you met them at the farm livestock sale or something like that. That's the person that was bidding on the calves or whatever. That's one way to know someone. But to know who they are personally, know some of their individual characteristics, to me is it's a more rewarding type relationship. And some, over time, have drawn back from that because they didn't want to be very well known. They didn't want to build because they was afraid of maybe hurts or something. But I'm just trying to make the point here that John had a very personal relationship with this man. Some people have felt like this was written to maybe Christians at large. This name Gaius means, if you look it up, the Greek word means a Christian. So I think, though, that there's enough distinct things about this book that it lets us know he was writing it to a individual, to a man. He says, "Beloved, I wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." So this is a verse here that lets me know that John knew this individual, this Gaius. He knew him on a personal level. And he said, "I rejoiced greatly when I heard others testify of your integrity and you walking in truth." He said, that meant something to me. You know, when we have a personal relationship with someone and we find that they are doing well, maybe even better than us, there still brings a sense of happiness or fulfillment to when we know that person and we have a good relationship. John goes on to say, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So here's another detail I feel like that we are led to understand, and that is that more than likely this man came to know the plan of salvation through John's ministry. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Was he talking about a literal child? Probably not. He was talking about a spiritual child. There's no greater joy than to know that his spiritual children, someone that maybe he had prayed with personally, someone that had accepted the gospel message, was doing well and was being a good example to others. He says, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth." So I'd like for us to spend a little time now on the second verse. I've tried to establish that John was talking to someone he knew personal. It wasn't an abstract thing. It wasn't junk mail that you got in the mailbox. It wasn't just a generic message to anybody that might hear. This was a one-on-one communication. All right? So first off, I want us to come to recognize that personal attention is always a blessing, isn't it? When someone says, "I appreciate you," or "I like you," and someone is just talking to us individually, that I don't care what they say to us. If it's a positive thing that they, "I like you've got some new shoes. Those really look nice. You have a nice shirt on today," or "Your hair looks really nice today." That's a blessing, isn't it? It makes us feel good. Isn't blessings what makes us feel good? So just the idea that John was talking to one person, and it wasn't the church at large. It wasn't a group of people. It wasn't someone that lived in a certain location. It was an individual. That's a blessing, all right? It's even better when people are not just giving us personal attention, but they have our best interest in mind. So listen to what this verse said, verse 2. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." So if I was going to write something on the board, I would write health and prosperity. Now, who in their right mind would not enjoy someone saying to you, "I want you to prosper and be in health. I want you to be prosperous and be in health." Now, isn't that what the world is clamoring for all around us? People are looking for new opportunities to make more money so they can have more stuff. And everybody is looking for something, some tonic or some thing that they can ingest in their bodies that make them feel perpetually young and keep you know, I'm not the most curious, but I do have some curiosity. So I just was curious about what caused the hair to go gray. And I found out that there's stuff out there. There's people that say that there's certain things that you can do about your diet that could help your hair not to turn gray. But once it starts really going gray, you're pretty much a lost cause, so y'all know. I found out that it's, by and large, it's hereditary, and your body stops making some little something in there, I don't remember the name of the stuff, that keeps your hair from going gray, keeps the natural pigment in your hair. So when your body quits making that, it turns gray, like mine is. So, you know, people in our society today are interested in whatever that little thing is that would keep their hair from going gray, that would make them, make their complexion look smoother, and all of these tricks. All you have to do is be looking for something totally unrelated, and there will be some, you know, the computers are pretty savvy in detecting whether you're middle-aged or older or not. And they put little ads up to try to get your attention. You know what the kind of ads that show up on my page a lot of, I say ads. It's something about sagging skin, you know, home remedies for wrinkles and stuff like that. I'm at the age that somehow it picks up on how old I am, and they think, you know, I might be a good candidate to be interested in some kind of wrinkle cream or something like that. So the world around us is looking for what John said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now, everybody around us is looking for that, and here John, Apostle John, not just any old John, but this is the Apostle John. This is most likely was written in the very latter end of his life. He's the one that was in exile because he was true to his Savior, the one that gave us the book of Revelations and wrote four books in the New Testament besides Revelations. And he's one that that leaned on Christ, that was the beloved disciple. This is that John. And he was writing a personal letter to someone else, and he says, I wish above all things that thou might prosper and be in health. Now, if someone that's older, more mature spiritually, someone I respect greatly, someone that I believe has been in touch personally with God, says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now, I'm going to tell you, that would make my day. That's personal attention that I would like. That's something that would make me feel good. I like this thing, don't you? I would like to maintain my health. I would like to be able to not worry about where the next necessity is coming from. That all sounds wonderful. And you know, if we're not careful, we could just take off down this tangent and say that that's what we need. We need older, mature, spiritual people to bless us all and say, I wish that you would prosper and be in health. I'm thinking now about what our perspective is of this scripture. You know, I'd like to turn and read something else in Luke, the 12th chapter, I believe it is. Notice something that Jesus said over here. If John's not good enough to give us a blessing, then surely Jesus is, isn't he? And Jesus says here in Luke 12, I'll begin reading in verse 27. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not. They spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So think about the flowers and the lilies, and it seems like the closer you look at them, the more intricate they are. And you begin looking at those little, I'm not going to use the word because I might call it the wrong thing, but those little thingies that's in the middle of the blossom, and when you look at them really close, I got to get my glasses on, and you look at there's these little tiny particles, it makes them look fuzzy in there, and it's something that if you touch it, you mess it all up. But there's all kinds of little hairy, follicle-looking things on a lily, and the closer you look at it, it's just like, wow, there's even more detail. And Jesus says here, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The majesty of God's creation in flowers. It's incredible, isn't it? He says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither shall ye be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these. Isn't that what we just said? The world around us is clamoring for health and prosperity. And he says here that the nations of the world seek after, they're looking for all of this, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things. All of the health and prosperity. All right? I'm going somewhere, so y'all bear with me if you think I'm being kind of strange this morning. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you what? Health and prosperity? Is it? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things. I'd like to go back now to John, 3 John 2. And I just want us to read this verse a little more careful. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, as I said earlier, I feel like all of us here would say, I appreciate and I enjoy feeling good, good health. I do. I appreciate every day that I have, that I feel well, that I don't have pains, that I feel I can breathe easy. If you have allergies and you're having trouble this time of year, breathing easy is something that's a real blessing. And if you're if you've had some little problems in your body or some big problems in your body, a day that doesn't have pain and doesn't have difficulties, that's a real blessing, and it makes you feel good, and you're blessed and you feel encouraged. He says here, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wonder sometimes how many of us would like to have the health and prosperity, and we don't want to, we're hesitant about putting any correlation between that and our soul. You know, I feel that it's a great danger in our world today for people that name the name of Christ to begin to feel like that Christianity is for their, just for their health and their prosperity. Here's what I feel like John was saying to Gaius. I believe it was very personal. I believe it was John was writing to him because he really had confidence. He really believed what he had heard about Gaius. I believe that he was a very true statement when he said, "No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." But there is something here that he was saying. He said, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." You know what kind of confidence John had in this man? I believe he had real confidence that his soul was prosperous. You know how we have a prosperous soul? Is when we cultivate our relationship with the Lord. When we spend the time, you know, today, right now, you could be here, but not here. You know, I used to sit in class at school, and one class in particular, the teacher would catch us in his class, but not with him. And his expression was, "I caught you chasing rabbits." You know, you can be in service and be chasing rabbits. You can be here in service and your mind could be somewhere totally else. It could be on somebody else. It could be about an activity that you want to engage in this afternoon. It could be something that you anticipate happening next week. It could be something that distracts you because your phone went in your pocket and you had the ringer turned off, but you pulled it out and you began to read what somebody sent you. Maybe it was a picture. And sometimes you can be standing where I'm standing and you see someone look down and they get this silly little smirk on their face because somebody sent them something funny in the middle of church. And you're not there. So you can be here and not really be where you ought to be. But when John wrote to Gaius, he was saying, "I'm writing to you because I know you. I'm writing because I rejoiced greatly when I heard the testimony about how your soul was doing. Others was testifying." And he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth." So how do we cultivate that relationship? We can choose where our mind goes. Right? You can be here and be thinking about what's coming in on the phone or what you're going to do this afternoon, or you can really apply yourself not only here, but as you go through your day, you can apply yourself to meditate on the things of God. I know, because I'm going to tell you, I've had times in my life that it was easier to daydream about something that I wanted to do than to deal with what I needed to. We've all been there. And you know, we can choose to cultivate that relationship with the Lord as we're driving down the road and commuting to our job, or we're dealing with whatever life presents us. We can choose to cultivate that relationship and make our soul prosper, or we can choose to abandon it and just leave it like roadkill out there. You know, you can drive by, in our area, you drive by, there's all kinds of things that gets run over on the road. And our experience and our relationship can be like that if we're not careful. if we don't choose to cultivate a relationship with the Lord. But when we choose to cultivate that relationship with the Lord, and we've met the conditions by repenting and asking Him to forgive us, and we're seeking Him daily, and we're choosing not to listen to some kind of ramble and nonsense that the world is putting in out there to entertain us with, but instead we are focusing on something. Lord, I want something for my soul today. He said here, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. How? Even as your soul prospereth. You know, the Lord, I believe, has great blessings for His people. I believe that He has health for His people. And I believe that He has adequate means for His people. And adequate can mean prosperity to some. I believe that He has a blessing for you in your literal everyday life. But a lot of times, it's hindered because our soul is not prospering. So where is our soul today? Is it where Gaius was? You know what John was saying to Gaius? He said, I want you to be able to have some of the joys of this life because I see you're earnestly contending for a relationship with the Lord. That's what he's saying. You know, when we see someone that's really sincerely wanting to be pleasing to the Lord, and they're putting God first in their life, maybe it's a young person that's single, and we say, we really want them to have a good spouse. They've been so faithful. They've been they've really put God first in their life. And you know, others will look on and say, like John, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health. You see someone that has maybe devoted their time and their energies into helping the cause of God, maybe it seems like that things haven't went so well in their occupation. You know, people start praying, Lord, bless them. Give them some of the fruits of their own labor. Help them, Lord, to feel your blessings. That's what John was saying to Gaius. He said, I see your soul prospering. I see you cultivating that. This is not a message to a man saying, and Jesus wasn't saying, that God wants, that it's God's good pleasure just to give you anything that your heart desires. It was contingent on something. It was contingent on them seeking the kingdom of heaven. Seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. I just want to challenge us and encourage us this morning to seek the Lord. Lay the weights aside. Cultivate a relationship with Him. And I know that the Lord doesn't have negative things. He's got good things in mind for us. And I believe that just as John wrote to Gaius and said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. But he didn't stop there. He said, even as thy soul prospereth. I'd like for every one of us here to have a satisfying, rewarding life while you're here on earth. I really want that. But I'm going to tell you, one of the keys for you to reach that is by you putting God first in your life. Cultivating that relationship with Him to where there's this resonating experience. And when you come around others that really love the Lord, there's something that rings true. There's something that you know this person is living to all they know and understand. And when those kind of things happen, I want to tell you the Lord can give these things to us. He can trust us with them. So I just want to challenge us this morning. If you're wanting more health, if you're wanting more prosperity, I'm going to tell you, one of the secrets is to get closer to the Lord. And if you don't, here's what will happen. The closer you get to the Lord, you'll realize maybe some of those aspirations you had don't really matter after all. And the Lord may see that He can trust you with something. He may allow you to have some of the riches of this world, some of the health that this world is clamoring for. I want you to know I appreciate the Lord's blessings to us. I'm thankful for the health that I've enjoyed. I realize there's others in my age bracket that don't have that. And I'm very grateful for the Lord's blessings. And I want to stay true to the Lord. I don't want to take it for granted. I want us to keep my relationship with the Lord. I want Him to be able to trust me. And I want Him to be able to bless me, but I want to cultivate that relationship where He can. So I want to challenge us this morning that God has good things for us, but may the Lord help us each one to cultivate that relationship with Him. You pray for me.